One of the biggest changes in the U.S. military in recent years is its growing reliance on reservists and soldiers from the National Guard. With over 40% of the U.S. forces in Iraq now drawn from Guard and Reserve units, more and more weekend warriors are being called to active duty.
Among them, members of the 98th Division, based in Rochester, New York. They're on their way to Iraq. The 98th is a training division, and it's being sent overseas for the first time since the Second World War. Its mission, building the new Iraqi army. Our colleague Michelle Norris was on hand as part of the unit shipped out.
It's 8 o'clock in Rochester, New York, and there's a nip in the morning air. On the first day, the temperature is headed toward the freezing mark. At this hour, the sun has barely peeked over the roofline at the 98th Division headquarters, and yet the blacktop out back is abuzz with activity.
Company! Attention!
Following commands, the soldiers snap into formation, yet there's something unusual in this picture. Amid the precise rows of starchy camouflage and combat boots, a small group of soldiers is wearing civilian garb, sweatshirts, rumpled jeans, and tennis shoes, comfortable clothing for a long ride ahead.
Post the colors!
This is not just any morning drill. It's a farewell ceremony for 29 reserve soldiers shipping out to Iraq. The unit is heading out in waves. Those in uniform are leaving this weekend. Those in streetwear will depart by bus today. They will travel 10 hours to Camp Atterbury, Indiana, for a final round of training before flying off to war. But first, the final farewell, that heart-wrenching scene that plays out on military bases all over the country in times of war. The tears, the bear hugs that go on and on. The children whose entire bodies seem to crumple with grief, and the knowing silence between spouses who harness their emotions by keeping conversation to a minimum. Training happens to be this unit's specialty. They literally wrote the book, the guidebook for family readiness, that process of helping military families prepare for a deployment. Now the trainers have become the trainees. Since 9/11, Lieutenant Colonel Edward Downey has been counseling families to get their affairs in order. He's an attorney in civilian life and in the military, where he's assigned to the JAG, or the Office of the Judge Advocate General. Colonel Downey helps reservists file a will or get their financial and health records in order.
No one thinks it's going to happen to them. It's always, you know, it'll be some other unit that gets mobilized, and it won't be me. In June, I was in Newport giving my class, my fire and brimstone speech to, I think they were ROTC instructors in the 98th, and saying, look, just because you guys are sitting here teaching ROTC classes, that doesn't mean you won't be called up. And 2 hours later, I'm sitting there doing some wills for people, and then my colonel called me and said, you sitting down? I said, well, I'm doing a will right now. Yeah, I'm sitting down. And she says, 98th is getting deployed, and it looks like we're going to Iraq. So that brought it home myself. My fire and brimstone speech to other people now, I got to get my own personal affairs in order. And all the things which I've been taking care of other soldiers, I hadn't done myself.
Downey is 50. He has the rigid demeanor of someone who has spent decades in the service. He's traveled to more than 16 countries while on active duty. Now, as a reservist, you could say he knows the drill on deployment. But his eyes still turn misty when he talks about missing his son's high school graduation or leaving his wife on her own.
No matter how much preparation, you can't prepare. The last one, I went away to Bosnia, Germany, she ran the snowblower, and she ran regular gas through it, you know, and it burned the engine. You know, it was a gas, you had a gas-oil combination. You know, little things like that, you know. Unfortunately, that was on my list, didn't get to it. I just flat out ran out of time. But the problem is though, it's the day-to-day stuff. How can you have my wife call up and say, someone say, I got a stuck window, can you come over and unstick the window? You know, stuff like that.
Since the 98th has not been deployed for war in decades, the order caught many of the reservists by surprise. Specialist Guadalupe Garcia only received his official paperwork 2 weeks ago. His orders call for a 545-day deployment beginning this coming Sunday. We met Specialist Garcia in the headquarters family support office, where he was wrestling with a whiteout strip to update an email address on an information form.
It's a mobilized soldiers information what they do is they create this so that the Army can get in contact with the families and let the families know that I'm okay and that make sure that everything is fine.
Old Man Winter swoops down hard on Rochester, and many of the reservists are cobbling together snow emergency plans in these final days.
Everything is running like a speed of light. Everything is just, you know, unpredictable. You know, today they tell you one thing, tomorrow it could be different.
Is it a bit tough, though, stepping out into the great unknown, not knowing where you're going to be or what you're going to be doing?
Yeah, kind of.
How are you dealing with that?
I don't have no fear. I got this uniform, and once I got this uniform, whatever fear I have is not there. Because, you know, this is what I signed up to do, and that's my job. If I survive getting it done, if I don't survive, all I know is that I serve the country.
Just steps away, John Knope runs the support unit for family members who don't wear the uniform. The wives, the husbands, the sons and daughters, the parents of those deployed overseas. He says this is the most rewarding job he's ever held, but also the most difficult.
I find this very hard. I've been deployed in my life. I know what it's like. And it's easier for me to leave and be deployed than be home as a spouse. As a spouse, there's a lot you have to deal with. I had a lady come in my office, and she said she wasn't happy, and she was going through some tough times, and she sat in the chair over here, and she said she's having trouble. She wants her son to come home. I said, well, he can't. You know, what's going on right now? He's on a mission. He's in Iraq, and he's okay. And then she says, one of the bad things about it is I don't know where he is. I said, well, he's in Iraq. And she says, but I don't know where it is. And I said, oh. So I got up out of my chair, said, excuse me, went out into the office here where there's a map of Iraq. And it showed Jordan, and it showed Syria, and it showed, you know, Iran and Turkey and whatever. And I brought it back in here, opened on my desk, and I said, here's Iraq. It's about 6,500 miles from here, and it's 8 hours difference. And she looked at it, and she started crying again. And she said, can I have this? And I said, yes, you can.
Knope says in tough times, communication is key, and so is the truth.
Don't tell a child that you're coming home. Don't make a promise you can't keep. For fathers, don't tell your sons that you'll be in charge of the household, you'll be the man of the house while I'm gone. Don't do that because you may never get the reins back when you come back.
Common sense advice that helps Michelle Lemieux cope with her husband Michael's latest deployment. He was part of the 98th Division's advance unit that flew to Iraq in September. She now flies solo back at home, managing an active household with four children, ages 14, 12, 10, and 5.
With the older one, he's trying to find his place. So with Dad gone, he feels like he's the man in the house, and he's tried to make that clear to me. And I've, of course, made it clear back, he's not the man of the house. I am.
Michelle Lemieux has a sparkling sense of humor. Laughter, she says, helps keep her going. These families lean on each other and adopt their own be-all-you-can-be credo. Tough as it is, they try to face each challenge with calm and courage to help inspire others. When Michelle Lemieux feels overwhelmed, she thinks of her friend Michelle Morales across town, another military spouse with four children under 10.
What'd you guys do today after?
Spearmints with raisins and Sprite.
Raisins and Sprite.
Michelle Morales' husband Tony is also in an advance unit. He's been in Iraq since July. 1 week after he left, Michelle took sick. What began as a pain in her shoulder turned into a life-threatening bone infection. She had surgery to remove part of her clavicle and was bedbound for weeks. She got through it with a vast web of round-the-clock support, babysitters and meal deliveries, and neighbors with riding mowers.
You know, like a lot of people will say to you, how can you do this? How can you, you know, you have four kids, oh my gosh, you know, it must be horrible for you. And I guess I don't have that attitude. It's just something I have to do. It's not a question of how horrible it is or, you know, how long this is going to take or you take the bull by the horns and you just go with it.
The holidays are coming, and that presents its own unique challenges. In the Morales family, it's Tony who transforms the walkway into a haunted graveyard. Tony who turns pumpkins into works of art.
Will you be able to carve our pumpkins this year?
Of course, why wouldn't we?
Because the green is the help. Well, I think we'll, you know what we'll do is we'll carve our pumpkins and then we'll take a picture like we always do of each of you with your pumpkin and we'll send it to Dad.
Back at the 98th headquarters, a small crowd is gathered to send off the departing soldiers. Families, a smattering of police who will escort the chartered bus out of town, and the decorated members of a local VFW post. The scene this morning conjures memories for Jesse Stevens and Master Sergeant Bing Reeves, now a reservist with the 98th.
During Vietnam, there was no ceremonies. No ceremonies. You got drafted, you got on a bus someplace in Buffalo, and you shipped out, and that was it.
We talked about that this morning, how different it was when we were in the service. You fell out early in the morning in a barrack area. There was no family around with your duffel bag. You stood maybe an hour and a half. A bus pulled up. Goodbye, America.
With the military's growing dependence on the Guard and Reserve, those called to serve tend to be middle-aged, 30 and 40 and 50-something adults with families and businesses and multiple children. Recognizing that, the military has tried to help ease the transition for both the troops and their families. But there's only so much that can be done to provide comfort in these final moments as the reservists board the bus. Bob Gell drives the charter, and he knows the first hours on the road are going to be tense.
They're going to war. I bring some movies that are for soldiers. It's no Alice in Wonderland. If they choose to watch it, that's fine. It's not smut, but it is gangster movies and things to no war movies. No war movies. I just make the ride easy, best I know how.
And how do you do that?
Just leaving them alone. If they want to make noise, they make noise. If they want to be quiet, they can be quiet. As long as they don't wreck the bus or hurt me, they got a good trip going.
Once everyone's on board, families try to spot their loved ones through tinted windows. But the bus driver does not dawdle. No sense in that. He pulls off quickly, rounds the corner, and heads out to the highway, taking soldiers off to war.
That report from our colleague Michelle Norris in Rochester, New York.
You can see pictures of the 98th Division at our website, npr.org.